I thought that perhaps this morning there's a real good spirit here, and I can tell there's a hunger as to the strength of it. Sometimes I'm reluctant, you know, as to get started, but some mornings it seems real good, especially on Sunday morning. But the strength sometimes is not enough to hold out to bring forth anything as to the deepness of the Lord, as to the revelation. And I explained to the brotherhood yesterday why that it's so difficult in the church to bring out these things. That's why Jesus resorted to just a little group when he said it's not given to them to know the mysteries as to those that are without. But unto you it's given. And I was explaining, when I go to talk to some of the brethren that come together, the Bible speaks of the meat belonging to the strong, they who have by reason exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. And the Lord wants meat in his house. He said that there should be meat as well as milk in the house. But these brethren, when they come together, a lot of these are advanced in their thoughts and in their understanding. And when the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak, it's hardly a ripple, as we would say, in the water. Because I just let the Lord speak, and he speaks on and on and on. And they are there to receive a real edifying. But then when I come to church, I find a variety of minds, and I find such diversity of thoughts, and I find different levels, so many different levels as to growth. And it really makes it bad. I have my little children, of course, to talk to, and I have my spiritual children as to the little ones to talk to, and it really makes it difficult. And I explained yesterday, having different people to come in, and I would be right maybe a kind of a third along the way, and then here would come in some more, and here would come in some more, and then I'd have to double back and pick up and try to explain this and try to put it together for those that had come, because they were lost in the conversation unless I did double back. And then, of course, some of them being on different levels, it made it real difficult. So that brings the preacher into it. When he starts having to double back, then it's teaching. He's teaching then. He has to instruct and go back and pick up and reroute. And even though that is the ministry and that is an operation of the Spirit, still one Spirit, many operations. The operation of the revelation is a different thing altogether. And so then that runs in as to one operation into another operation. And though it doesn't conflict, it blends them together. But what it does do, it severally divides as to stopping at this way point and going way back to pick up somebody over here. And you've stopped here as to the advancement of the understanding of what the Spirit would like to bring to you as to your growth. As a matter of fact, I expressed a few things yesterday as to an illustration by saying it reminded me when I took my people over to Norway. I had quite a large group of people, and I took them to Norway. And when I took them over to Norway, I tried to keep them together. And when we got to Sweden and got ready to go on from Sweden up to Norway, we had preached there in Sweden and decided we'd go on up to Norway. Well, I got on the train, and I had everybody on the train, I thought. And we were just as happy as a lark, and we was fixing to go on our way. And the train was going this way. This train was going this way, I believe, that we'd gotten on. And I could see through the window the other train on the track right nearby, and it was going this way. And I was pretty confident it all was well, you know, and I'd rounded up the sheep. I was ready to go, and about the time that that thing started to pull off, I looked through the window. And when I looked through the window over here in the other train, here was some of my people on this train going this way. And I was so frustrated, I didn't know what to do. And I quickly begin to get off and to try to get everything straightened out. Well, to say the least, when I had everything straightened out, this time it's for sure, you know, and we were going, Betty and I, we were pretty well happy because we had our little children together, you know. And off to Norway we went, and when we got way out in the middle of nowhere, away from Sweden, I believe Jerry was with me, he might remember this. But when we got out, way out in the middle of nowhere, as we would say, there was no houses, there was no city, there was no nothing. And all of a sudden, I discovered some of them was missing. And then I really was frustrated because we'd gone a long ways. And I thought, my dear God, what in the world am I going to do? So different ones got frustrated over it. And I had to get off of the train. I said, I'll just have to get off right here. So I got them to stop or where the stop point, whatever it was, we got off. That is, I think Betty got off with me. I believe we were together. But anyway, we got off, and it was one little old hut about so big, right down the middle of nowhere, and it's sitting there. So I got off, and then I had to stay there till I could catch a train going back the other way. And when I got back, after catching the train, and I got back over around the areas of Sweden, I was so alarmed, and I started looking like for a needle in a haystack. And I looked, and then we went up to the shopping center, and we couldn't locate the people. And here they were, just nonchalant-like, leveraging around, looking at shoes and wanting to buy clothes and whatever. And I was just so tore up, I began to try to explain. They just done about like that. You know, they didn't see no problem. They didn't see why I was so frustrated. And, you know, I thought, I just can't get a hold of nothing like this. And that's the way it is when I'm teaching. I was illustrating yesterday. See, I have everybody going, and we're way over here somewhere. And about that time, I realize that somebody is way back yonder. Then I have to get off of the train, as we say. And I have to go way back there, and I have to pick them up. And by the time I get way back up here, then these up here is done way over here. And that's what I run into in church. So it makes it real difficult. I just love to talk about the things of God and the deep things of God, the deep mysteries of God, because the Bible speaks of the mysteries of God being finished at the sounding of the last trumpet. And I love to understand what the last trumpet is and what the mysteries are and what he means and what time element, whereas things are as to the waypoint of life as to the time element, you know, and how far down the trail we are and how far we've got to go. And like Daniel, when he was fasting and praying before God, and he said, make me to know what shall befall my people in the latter days. I know that from the scrolls and the teachings of Jeremiah, there, these different prophets, I know that we were to come down into Babylon and to be 70 years, but now the 70 years is coming to a close. And being a Jew, he wanted to know what was going to happen to the Jewish people. He said, what's going to happen? That is to the royal seed. And for 21 days he fasted. And the angels had to break through a barrage. They had to come down and break through a wall of resistance that Satan had set up to keep them from communicating with Daniel. Daniel just kept on praying with these angels intercepted as to the satanic forces when they intercepted those angels that were sent from God to answer Daniel's prayer. Then these angels could not fight their way through, and they had to return to get help. And when they returned to get help, they came back and they fought their way through. Old brother Daniel, he didn't quit fasting. He didn't quit praying. He just kept right on. And finally they came down there, you know, and when they got down there, they said, Daniel, they called him the beloved man of God, said, Daniel, we heard you the first day, but we couldn't get through because the prince of Persia withstood us. See, and this is what we run into a lot of times in trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord or go on to reach our destination. We run into all kind of things. See, and Daniel here was after this revelation to speak to us, to let us know that from that time over to the great finale of the 490 years as to what was to befall his people. And I say this a lot of times, when we think of the 490 years, it is said, and this is that is determined upon thy people, Daniel, to let you know what's going to happen after the 70 years. I think of it like this, 490 years, which means that is all there is to the earthly perspective of life from the time of Daniel. Well, that's real baffling to some people because there is supposedly 500 years of silent ages. That is to say that there wasn't any prophetical utterance during that time. By this too, we go about the building back of the walls and these things as to the coming of the Messiah. No prophetical utterance, and really when you narrow it down, it narrows down to 483 years from the time of Daniel to Calvary. So then when you come down to these things, then you say, well, my God, if there wasn't but just 490 years, where did all the rest of these years come from? Where did all the rest of this time come from? If there wasn't but 490 years upon Daniel's people, which of course would be the Jews, then where did the rest of this come from? It's very obvious that what Daniel saw was to Calvary. And he spoke of it, and from Calvary, through the church ages, he obviously did not see anything. Now someone would say, well, why, Brother Pike, would you say that Daniel did not see anything through the church ages? Because his request was, what shall befall my people, which was the Jews? And the church ages is not for the Jews. The Jews were cut off at Calvary. And Paul said, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? Having the revelation, he saw that they were cut off at Calvary. And he saw that from the point of being cut off at Calvary, that from there all the way over to the last week of Daniel, which is the time of Jacob's trouble, that we call the tribulation, that there was nothing in there as to Daniel's vision. See, there was nothing in there, I say, as to Daniel's vision. So Daniel looked at this, he saw as from 483, and then it stopped. And then he saw the seven, even though he saw it as to 490. See, and that upon the people of Daniel. Then Paul the Revelator, he comes in about Calvary. And when he comes in at the time of Calvary, all of a sudden the church ages come in. And then it's a different thing altogether. It's different. It's a different vision altogether as to what Daniel was looking at, as to saying coming to 483 is to Calvary. And then from that, this time from 483 over to 7 is heaven. We are in heaven. It is the scope of grace. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to gather all things into Christ. And sure enough, that was the fullness of time. And there the end of the world came. And the Bible said, you are the people upon whom the end of the world came. So it was obvious that if the world ended there, then that meant there was a heavenly perspective that come in. And when this heavenly perspective come in, it was a scope of grace that took in everybody, and that Jesus died to take away the sins of all the world. And so then, whereas we are in heaven, it's through this church age mystery. Then we being in heaven, where then in heaven are we? Where then in heaven are we? We that come to the revelation, we are in the third heaven. But then if the rest of the people, as to the Gentile world, is in heaven, then as to what heaven are they in? They are in that of the reflection as to the blood on the seat of atonement, not as to the new birth, as to the Holy Spirit of the light or the day star that's dawning within us, as to our spirit interwoven with Christ, as to the third heaven, but in that which is a reflection as from the grace, as to the blood being on the seat of atonement. And so then they reflect this, and this reflection gives them opportunity to where they can come into the presence of God and have understanding as to know about the love of God and the things of God, to learn about these things and then go back out into the darkness. So that means that they are in the second heaven. And that heaven will end when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. Whereas we also are in the second heaven as to our bodily being. Our bodily being is relative to them. Therefore, as they are, so are we as in the natural body. And we are in the reflection as to the natural body. And this is where we have the problem. Because though we be in heaven as to a reflection of the natural body, and they be in heaven, they have all the goodies and we don't have anything. And if we in this life only have hope, then we are all men most miserable because they've got everything in this life and we have nothing. But we do have hope beyond this as to another life. All right, so then we know that as to the spiritual quickening, as to the angelic man on the inside, then this wonderful, wonderful Son of God that's on the inside, and that John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God, doth not yet appear as to the bodily change what ye shall be like. But when the adoption comes, then we know that we shall be like him, for we shall be changed into his image as to the coming. When the second heaven fades away, the blood off of the seat of atonement, the expulsion of Revelation 12, and when you see this happen, then the light is gone away and all of the world is in darkness. There's no more grace. And those that are intellectual are then out in the darkness and they're wandering around in the intellectual darkness and they have no light. Because with the taking away of that reflection, it is the expulsion, as even as Adam in the garden is to the fall. It is the expulsion, and when that happens, then that means that Satan has been cast out. That is the casting out, is the taking away of this grace as to that that they reflect, in that Satan living within the body, in that the body has not been changed, living in the body of humanity, he is enjoying the wonderful things of heaven. And as John saw him, he was in heaven and waiting for the birth of the child, because he is in those people. And he's waiting for the birth of this child that we are carrying. Paul said, travailing through Christ, be formed within you. Satan in them, Lucifer, as to that being his body, he's waiting for this child. And as I say, every time something comes into view that might be a Christian, the old red dragon as to the blood life of birth and reproduction is laying there to bring in the volleyball and the football and to bring in the sports, the Olympics, and to bring in the places in the upper echelon and among the elite, among the people of the world, to be some kind of celebrity, you know, or some kind of rock and roll entertainer or something of the world, of some millionaire or having some place in the world. See, and Satan is waiting there to grab them and to take them with that indoctrination and to devour them. But nevertheless, this child, though Satan does get many people, and in that he gets many people, it is a religious wilderness. And it looks like it's the real thing. But this child, this real, genuine, revelational child, the very Christ himself, he's not caught within the second realm, but he goes up into the third heaven at birth. Immediately, he's caught up to rule with a rod of iron. So as soon as you're born again, up he goes to the throne, which throne is within you as to the kingdom of heaven within you and your spirit, interwoven with the Christ that sits on the throne of that kingdom which is in your heart. And the world which God has placed in your heart, it goes out. All of a sudden, it goes out and it's there. No more. Well, anyway, we're trying to explain a few of these things to the brethren yesterday. We'd have to go into great detail to be able to bring this out in an explicit manner of a much revelation. Paul spoke of as much revelation that had been given to him. And great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, we, as the ministry, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. I would like to say a few things. I don't know what I can say. I do know that you're hungry. And I do know there's a good spirit here as how much strength there is as to the endurance toward the Lord speaking and you staying long enough to listen that he might speak to you. I don't know as of yet. I know it's good and strong right now. The interest is very keen right now. I do know that you will stay with me out of reverence. And as Paul said, absent in body but present in spirit, I have to be careful because you'll be present in body and absent in spirit, because your spirit will be gone to the cafe or somewhere and your body will be sitting there in reverence. So God being a spirit, he won't speak to your body. He's not interested in your body. The body profiteth nothing. It would be a waste of his time to communicate with something that's going to profit nothing. It's dead but the body of the Lord Jesus, and he is the Father of spirits. Therefore, his interest is in your spiritual being and your angelic being. So then his communication is with you as to the great eternal spirit from within his temple, as to the ministry to you, you that are sons of God within the natural body, dwelling in that little tabernacle. Let's just say that we'll speak, I don't know hardly what to say as to what we speak on, because if I say we're going to speak on one thing, the Spirit might want to speak on another thing. And he is willing to speak as I would like to speak, providing that you are in that level of listening. And if not, then I have to just do whatever he does. But if you are in the level of listening, I would like to have related a few things to you as concerning what I spoke to the brethren about yesterday as to time. You know, we rob people out yonder, not just as to say robbing people here, but if I talk with people 6 and 8 hours over yonder somewhere, you know, and they feed and they feed and they feed, and then we come to church and we're not able to minister to you the revelation, then I've robbed you and they are robbing you. And not only that, but they rob those that are without. If it don't go on tape, then it doesn't go into the books, it's to the printed page. And then those people that are without don't get it. And the goal was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So then we rob them. It's like I was telling my wife the other day. I appreciate the brethren going down into Mexico and building a house down there. And they're building a house for Jesse. And indeed, it's very allegoric as to Jesse and the house of Jesse and the things it has to do with. But at the same time, it took a lot of money to be able to take care of so many people down there that when it wasn't necessary for them to be there, and still taking quite a bit of money, where it's just kind of coming to a terminal point. But I said that to say this. It is great to be able to do that. That's wonderful. And to give them the best. Don't cut them short on anything. But at the same time, while we're doing that for them, as to being in the excessiveness toward that, then we are robbing other people. Because it is taken away from the home front and some things that need to be done here as to the publication of the gospel, and others that are like the telephone ringing this morning. See, as from the foreign countries and ringing through the night. And they are pleading and they're wanting something and they're dependent upon us, and we get one-sided in our way of doing. You know, it's like the little saying, my four no more, and we get one-sided in what we're doing, whether it's listening to the gospel or trying to receive the truths, and we'll be selfish and not realize it. You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it just before we go on here. Like a young fellow that used to follow this ministry, a very fine man, but he liked to hitchhike from place to place, place to place. And one day he was talking to me, hitchhiking all around, and he was there in this particular state where I was at. He hitchhiking, and he was just boasting to me, young and healthy and well. He had money, you know. He worked, and he said, man, I just step out on the highway, and here I go. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. You know, that's wonderful. I've done that. You've done that. But I said, has it ever occurred to you that you place a burden on the hearts of other people? I said, when they're going down the road and maybe they've just got a few days off from their job, or maybe a man and his little wife and little family, and he's leery, he don't know whether to pick you up or not because there's so much danger along the highway. I said, and you put him under a burden, he don't want to pass you, and he don't know where to stop and pick you up, and if he does stop and pick you up, then you've invaded his privacy, and right there you've just broken up everything, and they're under pressure till they put you out. I said, has it ever occurred to you that you're doing that? And as you know, as I've said before, he got himself a car, and he's kept himself a car. And after that, he realized how one-sided people can get. And people get one-sided. And sometimes the brethren do this. I tell them, I say, you're getting one-sided in this. What about the others? We're supposed to be carrying the gospel to them, not seeing how much we can learn and how much we can know and what we can get. That's like a man sitting down at the table and he's got a whole table full of food. And here he just eats and eats and eats, and he really doesn't need it. But he's just, his appetite, you know, the Bible teaches the appetite's never satisfied. And he's just glutton. You know, he's a glutton and he's just eating and eating, and others are sitting around, you know, and he'll reach over and get the last biscuit. He'll get the last piece of cake. He'll get the last whatever, you know, and just grin and eat it. And the rest of them, you know, they'll pick up the crumbs, as we say. Well, maybe I'm not getting my point over today. I guess we'll just go ahead and say something here. But anyway, I'm not getting my point over today. But I'm just saying that this is the preacher's problem. This is the preacher's problem. He's got a problem when it comes to one thing. He's got a problem when it comes to another thing. He's got a problem when it comes to another thing. He's got problem with the finance. He's got problem with the people. He's got problem with his little family. He's got problems as to physically, naturally, spiritually, every way he's got problems. And yet he's trying to do his best, if he is a true minister, he's trying to do his best to get something over to the people and to bring his little flock along to where that they can be fed. The Bible speaks of the ministers that feed themselves and they don't feed the flock. And they drive the flock off. And the Bible said that they don't visit the flock after they're driven off. I will visit you for these things, the Lord said, to drive my people away and not visit them. So then we know that we've got to be careful, and yet we cannot compromise. If I compromise, then I'm no good. I'm no good. A compromiser is no good. He's worse than anybody else. A compromiser is worse than anybody else. It'd been better if he'd just been out in the world and been cold. It'd been better if he'd been over here and been hot and burning with this zeal of God. But when he's a compromiser, he's lukewarm. The Bible refers to him as a vomit, that is spewed out of the mouth. And the Lord said in the latter days there would be a lot of vomit. All of my tables are filled with vomit. I've got so much religious doings, he could have said. I've got so much religious fervor until I am sick up to my neck and I'm spewing it out. And all over the world it's spewed out. And you got all kind of religious activity that is vomit. It's hard to conceive of that is vomit. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you believe that those programs on TV and those people that are preaching at the sacred desk and all the gathering of these people, that is vomit? A lot of that is vomit. And you say, well, do you say that? That's what God said. Now, I speak his word. He said it's vomit. It's lukewarm. It's spewed out of his mouth. And here I am preaching instead of teaching. And we started off and we was going to talk about the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here I am already feeling some snags as I say this, which means that the field needs to be plowed and the drag hire needs to be thrown in. And everything needs to be moved away. And the old snakes and the weasels and the bugs need to be put out before you ever drop the seed in to where you can really bring forth a harvest. And this is what keeps us from the things of God. As I said again, it's just exhorting a little bit as I see this is the way we're going this morning. As to this thing, a lot of people want revelation. And they say, I'm ready for the deep mysteries of God, Brother Pike, and I'm ready for that revelation. But really, they're nothing but little toddling babes. And some of them are just lukewarm. And some of them are half in and some of them are half out. And all they need is a good sermon. And that is to bust the clods and drive off the spirits of evil, as we say, the old snakes that's hiding under the clod, and then let the Lord speak as to bring the revelation. Why is it like that? I come to church and why is it so different? And I get with the brethren, as just a few of them, and it's so different as there they sit. And they sit in such deep, concentrated thought and listening to everything, and so attentive. You know, and hungering and thirsting, you know, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks. And some of them same brethren will come to church and they're not hungry and thirsty because they're filled up. Therefore, when I go to feed the babies, I go to feed the others. Then we've got some that are there that they really don't cater to. This is coming to be with the brethren. They're in and out and up and down, and they may come around once in a great while. But when they come to church, they sit on the benches, them that know and them that's ready. And this revelation, I'm ready for it. And I look at him and I think, well, you're the middle wall of petition. You're the problem that's keeping me from getting to the others. It is your confidence of your intellectual stability of mind that is the wall of resistance, being an enemy to God. That's what stops me from getting to the rest of them. So the preacher's problem. And there we are again. Well, anyway, I can see that the mind of revelation is, and even though it was here when we first started, that's why I made the statement that the strength, you know, the strength the most. Well, when are you going to get to the preaching? This is the preaching. So this is what I say when I say, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I don't exactly know what to do because of the strength. I don't know whether there's enough strength to hold this or not. And sure enough, when I start just a little illustrating and a little exhorting to feel around and to see before we got into this, then all of a sudden, spirits begin to pop up and people's minds begin to pop up as to their reasoning and thoughts of what I said, about what I said, especially about the vomit. And that proved that they were clear out of sync. And that proved that they were not in the mind of Christ and in one mind with me. And that proved that the Spirit of the Lord couldn't flow from here if this be a well of water as to those that would want to drink, you know, if they're not thirsty. And so we say, what do? We come together, we have a fellowship, and the preacher exalts us. And then what happens? The others that come around, even as it was with Jesus' disciples that caught him by himself, they get the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And they get the understanding of the Lord, and the rest, they go lacking. My wife told me yesterday, I said, I was kind of tired last night. And I said, well, I'm kind of tired, been ministering a long time. She said, yes, that means we don't get anything in the morning. And I certainly don't feel that way. I love to talk about the mysteries of God. Somebody said, well, you can't. You know, let's say that's true. I can't. And that's where the problem is in the church. I can't. You know, but then let's overlook that as to the foolishness of them that try to talk about the things of God in a negative sort of a way. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And if you've got $1,000 in your pocket, you can give a dollar away if you like, or $10 away if you like. If you don't have it, then you can't. But if you do have it, you can. And by the grace of God, and strictly by his merit, I do have it. So it's no problem. Coming up here is no problem to pour it out like water. It pours out like water. It comes like an artesian well. But somebody said, Brother Pike, do you believe that? I don't only believe that. I see that. I hear that. I know that. I hear people and multiplied people saying, amen, glory to God, hallelujah. You know, and it pours out. And who does it pour out to? To the thirsty, to the hungry, to them that don't have any resistance in them. Somebody say, you mean to tell me, Brother Pike, that all these people that come together where this is at, that there's no one there that has any resistance, and you don't have the same complicated situation that you have here? I do have the same situation. And there are people that are there with resistance, and I occasionally have to say something. But the thing is, there are some that come that are so hungry and so diligent, that presses in so hard, that will not let up. They've got a drive that they intend to know, because they know the Spirit will speak, that they just press them people slap out. And when I come to the church, I ask you to do the same thing. I ask you to have that drive. I ask you that believe God. See, somebody would say, well, what kind of problem do we have? We have this problem, that them that do have the strength to do that and them that could do that is fed to the full as of yesterday. And when they come here, they don't do that. And so then the weak, they don't bear the infirmities of the weak, and they don't make that special effort, because when a man's full, he's fat and he's lazy. Or when he gets full, he just kind of lounges around. And if you go to say anything, he says, well, I done heard that. Which is ignorance on his part, because God always brings something new. I will do a new thing. Even if you didn't get anything new, as to what you would think would be new, his mercy is new every day. So then he does a new thing. He never talks about what he does a new thing. So then now the congregation is all out of sorts with their minds. So what do we do? We talk about the love of God and the good things of God, and we exalt you a little bit, and then we go on our way. And then all of your resentment and all of your fault finding and all of your resistance, someone would say, but I'm not doing that, Brother Pike. I'm setting you in your congregation. I come to church. I know that. Don't have nothing to do with it. I told you that God don't speak to human bodies. God speaks to spirits. And I am not wrestling with flesh and blood. I am dealing with spirits. So then I am dealing with your spirit. I'm watching your spirit. And Jesus perceived their spirit as to the thoughts within their spirit. And I watch your spirit. And where is the spirit? Where is the hunger? Where is the thirst? Where is the drive? Where is the pressing in? Where is the desire? Someone said, well, I have a desire, a natural desire. But where is the desire as to the thirst and the hunger for the things of God? Somebody said, well, I want to hear it. I know you want to hear it. That don't mean nothing. That just means a lot of times when you just want to hear it, that the devil is there listening and he's using you because he's there with all ears to hear. But that has nothing to do with it. It's when your spirit is hungering and thirsting after the things of God, and it's like a little child. It's saying, I want to learn, I want to know, I want to serve you, I want to honor you, I want to be like you, I want to do just exactly what you say. And that hunger and that thirst and that weeping and that desire on the inside is there pulling and tugging. See, all the time, this is what we're speaking about. God is a spirit. He feeds hungry spirits. He feeds those that are thirsty. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way that God does it. And when I come, I look for that. And for a few minutes, I thought for sure we had it this morning. I thought for sure it was there this morning. But anyway, I love you. I'm not scolding you. I'm just exhorting you. The Bible said exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching, and I see the day approaching. As a matter of fact, this is why that I desire not just to stand and talk with you like I'm talking with you. As Jesus, he just talked with him down by the seaside in the boat wherever he was on the Mount of Beatitudes. He just talked with him. He visited with him. He talked with him. And they had a wonderful conversation and things went on. See, and rather than just talk with you, I desire so that these things should be made known to you that has been made known to me. And someone would say, well, are they really made known to you? That's where the problem is. Some of you don't have that thought. You don't have that belief. You don't have that conviction. You don't come here really thinking that. And anything that I say, it's because I'm vainly puffed up by my fleshly mind. As far as you're concerned, and anything that I say, it is a personal reference and you resent it. And so then you cut yourself off from it. But see, them that come, as do they, when we are by ourselves, they don't do that. Though there are some among us. And they do that, and they aggravate me, and they bother me. Like a brother told me yesterday morning, he was sitting there, and I was ministering and been ministering, and the Spirit was going real strong. And the brother made a statement. He said, you know, son, I fell off the wagon 3 times at least. But he made the statement. He said, I just got something. And I turned to him, and I thought, well, I wonder what he's got. And sure enough, I perceived as the thoughts of his spirit. And I thought, yeah, that's right. You really have got something. And he said, I see something and I see why a certain thing is like it is and why it's been that way down through the years as to whatever. And he started saying, and I said, understanding, having seen into his spirit, I said, yes, that's exactly right. And he had seen it on display. What he had done when I picked up his spirit, he had seen an individual. And he'd seen this individual come in, which I see a lot of times in this, and hear him getting into the spirit, into the unknown. He began to see the very same thing. And he had seen an individual coming in, and he saw this individual in so many words contest what I was saying, and yet in an intellectual approach as to break in to get to say something. And then it was a pro and a con as to whatever. And it was a thing that would have detoured us clear off of the path of what we're trying to say because of an intellectual thing of trying to get over a point or say something or to a pro and a con. And this boy was wise enough to catch it in the spirit, and it went to him just like that. And I said, yeah, that's right. You know, answering him as to what I saw in his spirit. I said, that's right. I said, that's exactly right. So nobody didn't know anything until here in a few minutes, another fellow sitting kind of around the corner here, he said, I see what you're saying. And then I caught his spirit to see what it was. And sure enough, he perceived too, just like I perceive sometime here. And he said, I see that. I see that in the mouth of two witnesses. I see that. And so it was. Why did the Lord let the second one come in? Because it was in the mouth of two witnesses. And there it was, neither one telling anything as to what was going on, but yet the supernatural working and the Spirit of God working. And there they were, and they perceived and they knew. And both of them zeroed in on the very same object as to the very same individual concerning the very same thing. So I do have problems when we get together. I do have problems. But as one individual said, Brother Pike said, I see why you make allowance like you do. And I see that you do make allowance. And I said, that's true. I have to. I said, it's not me, it's Christ. As to the love of God. So folks, he makes allowance for us. As a matter of fact, some of the things that we were going to speak of today, this morning I thought for sure, all minds are clear, you know, they've just gotten up out of the bed and they're rested and some of them hasn't even eaten. And this morning we just get into some things and it'd be so lovely, you know. And one of the things I wanted to get into had to do with God making allowance as to something as pertaining to darkness and light or life and death. Well, anyway, my thought would have been, and I would have read, and the Lord allowed it, I would have read concerning the angel that set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, lifting his hands to heaven to swear by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should have been no more, or that time should be no more, and would have, by his grace, as we have in time past, allowed him to use me to break it down as to the tutoring, since I am a teacher and a preacher, Paul said, called to the minister, and though some don't believe that and they still think I'm witnessing myself, and that comes in like throwing a cold rag at me. But nevertheless, that's just cutting you off. That's just your carnal reason that is absolutely absurd and repulsive in my sight, in God's sight, so that it's just so ugly. But nevertheless, that's what causes you to be in the condition you're in. I will say this, that we could have and would have, had it been the will of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord, we would have expounded some things. And even now, I don't even feel to chide with you, because there's still things here as to that repulsive thing. So we're just going to stand together. We're going to sing a little chorus together. I've already exhorted you, and the Bible said exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. And if you want to resent, and if you want to find fault, and if you want to say I'm lifted up, and if you want to think whatever you want to think, no matter which way I go, whatever I say, if you don't want to give me a chance in your life, that's fine. That's fine. No problem. As long as you're happy, I'm happy. I've got that heavenly treasure in my earthen vessel. Freely I've received, freely I want to give. But if you don't believe I've got anything and don't believe I can give, then there's no need of me bothering you with it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you, I appreciate you. And I'd like to see you feed. I'd love to see you have the things that for your soul. And when you come to the place to where you are in that condition, then you will receive those things. And as I said to the brethren yesterday, I said, brethren, you have much, and they really do. I said, but if you'll take what you got, plus 100,000 other things, put them all together, you will have a launching pad to get started into the things of God. Someone would say, that's exaggeration. That's so underspoken. and so out of proportion as to what it would really take to express it, until there is no words of vocabulary expression as to how great is the mystery of godliness. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul. We'll let you go early today. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. You know, I had thought yesterday to go off for a little while. And I thought, no, I'm going to make the Friday night service. It was the day before yesterday. And then I thought, I'm definitely going to be with my people on Sunday morning. I'm not going to leave them. I'm going to talk with them. And I'm going to bring a revelational knowledge of some things that I've been trying to get to them for a long time. And I'm definitely going to do it. So I'm going to stay. Well, I stayed. But obviously I didn't do what I wanted to do. So my heart is enlarged to you. You pray for me. And let's walk on with the Lord. And you, some of you, not a whole lot of my people, but some of you that are so confident that you know when I go to say anything that you already know. And you're really just being reverenced to listen to me, but you already know that you become the wall of partition to cause the problem. And in that you were so sure that you already knew without me saying it, or that is not me speaking but God, then it's very obvious that God has decided, apparently, in that the preparation of a man's heart is from God, he has decided to let you go ahead and know what you know without him saying anything to you about it. And that way, there's no problem. All right, let's sing again, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Savior. Sweep over my soul. Sing that with me. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and I sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep bout over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, I need thee, now precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't, you know, just supposing that this should happen and God was through with the people and through with the church, that the ministry wouldn't be heard anymore to them. Supposing it is close. Supposing that was it. Are ye then ready? Are ye then self-sufficient? Do you have what you have to have? Is everything all right? Someone would say, well, it doesn't matter now, Brother Pike. One minister, a lot of ministers. That's true. A lot of ministers. If I wasn't here to speak or if I didn't speak, numbers of ministers, ministers everywhere. But then on the other hand, it was like when I was telling the brethren something there in the basement. One spoke up and said, well, there's one thing about it. If you ain't here tonight, I ain't going to be here either. So it isn't all that easy, as to say another minister and another minister, because some people don't see it like that. But though there are plenty of ministers, and you got plenty of folks to preach to throughout the whole world, see, why not go preach to them? But then is it just that the minister would not speak anymore? Would it then be over for the ministry? Oh no, that's not what it is at all. And should it stop, should then we just get another minister? Oh no, that's not the way it is at all. It's not a matter of getting another minister. The Bible said the voice of the bridegroom would be heard no more in her at all. It ain't just another minister. We're talking about the voice of the bridegroom. And someone would say, oh my God, Brother Pike, what do you esteem yourself to be? I esteem myself to be less than nothing. And so then, what then am I talking about? I must be talking about something altogether different. If I'm less than nothing, it would be a foolish man that would spend his time talking about nothing. And who would come to hear a man talk about nothing? I'm sure they would feel he was eccentric and they wouldn't take their time to listen. So then I must be talking about something altogether different, and we must be on two different levels of understanding or hearing as to the frequency of what's being said. I said the voice of the bridegroom wouldn't be heard in her anymore at all. And someone would say, well, aren't you having personal reference? I couldn't have any personal reference. How could I have personal reference? For Paul said, it's not I that live, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live. I live with the Son of God, and it is not I that speaketh, but Christ that speaketh. So then I must have reference again to something else, and you must be on the wrong frequency. So then, those that have ears to hear can hear, because they are tuned into the same frequency. And you that have ears as to who you might be that would think that you know something when you don't know something, as you ought to know, the Bible said, having ears ye hear not, because what ye hear ye do not understand. Having eyes ye do not see, because as to what you see you do not perceive. But ye that have ears as to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Then it is getting close to where the time will come when the voice of the bridegroom shall not be heard in her at all. No, not at all. Not anymore. So then we should cherish the moments of listening to the bridegroom. Again, someone would say, Brother Pike, your personal reference. I said, he said, and it shall not be you speaking, but the voice of the bridegroom. Therefore, am I again being judged? Sister Paul said, is it a light thing that my liberty should be judged of you? Or what difference does it make anyway if my liberty is being God and in another world, you're not even in that world? So then why should I bother with that? I'm speaking to the children. As to them that have ears to hear and eyes to see, that do understand, that doesn't judge after the flesh. We have known him after the flesh, but from henceforth we know him no more after the flesh. Doesn't judge after the flesh, then where is he and who is he, and could it be possible that he would be here? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Then it's altogether possible that he could be here, because I perceive that there would be at least two or three that would be gathered in his name. Why then should we be in a hurry to go from the presence of the Lord? Or why should we have a program in our heart as to a pre-program? As the songwriter said, so well programmed that it's left out his part. That is, we're programmed as to how long we're going to be here, when we're going to come, whether or not we're going to come, and what we're going to do, and the cafe we're going to when we get away from here. So, To each his own, the songwriter again said. So everything is left up to you to do what you will. Let's sing a little chorus together.
And I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. Can you sing that? And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in God's book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in this book, it is thine.
Let's sing this little chorus together.
There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for. Sing this with me. For at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Now I'm happy all the day.
Let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. But let's sing this little chorus together.
Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we are bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. The sheaves, we are bringing in the sheaves. We will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Let's lift our hands up together and let you go early. Been quite a lot of people coming as of late, a lot of visitors that are coming. And the last service, we had quite a number of visitors, quite a number of them that's coming. And I can't tell too much about it out there around the balcony, whatever, the lights on like they are. And I want you to know, if you're here, or to them that know of the others coming, to let them know but we really appreciate him coming. I appreciate from the bottom of my heart you people coming out to be with us. And it isn't my desire that we should come to the service like as in the morning, you know, and not be able to bring forth what we would like to bring forth to you as in the mysteries of Christ Jesus. And it is certainly his will for you to know, because the Bible said it is given unto you to know the mysteries of Christ. And the Bible does say, whether we accept it or not, that there will be a time when the mysteries of God should be finished. Because the Bible does teach that the things of God have an end. Therefore, there is a coming to an understanding of God. And if we're not living in the time of that, if we're not living in the day of that, then you know, I'm puzzled, because I don't know when that time is going to be. With everything going to pieces as to the government and all the problems that we are encountering, as to everything across the world, and being down to the late hour of almost 6,000 years finished, as to what we know calendar-wise, then if the time isn't here for the finishing of the mysteries, then I'm puzzled as to when the time is going to come. So I would think that it would behoove us to consider, really consider, that the carnal mind is enmity with God, and that one day God will do exactly what I'm doing right here. He'll close the book. And when he does, time won't be anymore. It would be worth our while to understand, even as some understood in some measure yesterday, what time is, what the origin of time is, what time is as to the stride of time, and what time is as to the end of time, and what is meant by the beginning of time and the stride of time and the ending of time, and where does it begin, where does it start, and how do we account for it as from day to day, and where does it end, and what does it have to do with as pertaining to humanity and the things of God? What does it have to do with? What does time have to do with anyway, as pertaining to the things of God? Should we know? Do we need to know? Is it necessary to know? Well, it is to this extent that ye are time creatures. And since ye are time creatures, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And that means that since ye are time creatures, then you're involved in the situation as pertaining to time. And that since you are, then time is the power that controls your life as to the beginning and the end, and in that ye are a subject of time, then that means that time has you under the power of constraint as to its own desire, as we would say, and as to whatever time is, that's what you are, and as to where it begins, you start, and wherever it stops, you end. So then that means that you should know more about it as to what it is, how to deal with it, how to understand it, because indeed it is an outstanding thing as to the understanding of the revelational truths of Christ Jesus and of time. So let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord lead you and help you. He will guide you if you have a spirit of love and a spirit of meekness. He will guide you into all truths, all the wonderful truths of God. But if ye be filled up, as it was with the prodigal, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, until he came to the realization that there was meat aplenty in the Father's house. And that, as Jesus said, meat to eat that ye know not of, as to the sons of God. When we realize this, of course, we realize that those that are without, Jesus said, being swines and dogs that wallow in the mire, lap their own vomit. They that are out there, we have meat to eat that they know not of. And we are not out there to fill our belly with the husk as to all of those things that they esteem to be something, as to somewhat we know to be nothing. But we are with Christ, and it was said to Jesus, as it was said to Jesus, that hath anyone given him to eat? Or it was said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. For my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish the work that he has sent me to do. So then that means that we have meat, brethren. And he that overcometh, the Bible said this meat is given to him. For he that overcometh shall eat of the hidden manna. But when you don't overcome, the hidden manna will not come. The preacher may preach and he may teach because that's his job. That's what he's sent for and to exhort. But when God himself speaks as to the hidden manna, that's a different thing altogether. Even as I recall something that comes to my mind that a great man of God said, by the name of Brother Branham, you're familiar with him. Brother Branham brought a great wonderful message and a great wonderful thing as to the move of God in the earth. And then he said, when he went off of the scene, he said, and then God will bring forth something. He said it will move right through the church and they won't even see it. And he said, with this, it will not be entrusted to a man, that God himself will bring this forth. And indeed, this is true. It is true. And only they that have the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church can receive the hidden manna. And so then that means that we are recipients of that, of the hidden manna, if we are sons and daughters of God. And it is not entrusted to a man to say this. It must be God himself that will speak directly from heaven, as through the instrumentality of that he uses, not called man, but as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that not as of to man, not as to him speaking, but God himself speaking. For they shall all be taught of God, and Jesus is a teacher. So, while we lift our hands and close our eyes, I exhort you one more time to press in, for many shall try to enter and not be able. Men press their way into this. Strive to enter in. Make a special effort, because you're not just going to coast into the kingdom of God. While you've got your heads bowed, thinking upon the things of the Lord, let's just pray together. I'll ask David to come over, if he will, and dismiss us while we pray together. Let's everybody devote our attention directly toward Christ. Search our hearts, examine ourselves, see if we are in the faith as to the believing of the hearing of the word.